Everybody's done? You're all done? Oh, awesome. Well, I'm going to share mine just because it's one that I love, and I mostly know it, but I realize, you know, I don't know it like I was talking about it. It's Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That God wants us to know his word. There's value to, of course, coming on a Sunday, coming on a Wednesday, getting in God's word, hearing the word, you know, reading it. But it's something that changes when we get into God's word and really struggle with it, when we meditate on it, when it gets into the very depths of our being. So it's not just something that I know, but it's something that I know. And I believe we all know the difference. So work on that. Take the time. That's why we put it so you can put it on your keychains. If you're sitting on the T, if you're in your car, and not while you're driving, but if you're at a stoplight, okay, all right. If you can't text, you shouldn't be memorizing scripture on a keychain either while you're driving. A couple quick things. We've got men's camp coming up for our district. There's some flyers over there. Men, April 13th to 15th. We had a great time. We had just a small group go last year. There was probably about five or six of us. Who went? I know there's a couple that are in here that went, John and Corey. So you can talk to them. It was an awesome time, and just encourage you to consider and be a part of that. The other thing is we are going to do, this past summer, Corey actually had started, we actually came from the camp, and he was just like, you know, we need to do something for the men, and so we talked a little bit about it, and it really was the impetus behind starting the Band of Brothers. And it was something that God used, and we saw it have some real significance in some guys' life, but it didn't maybe get the traction that we'd hoped for. And I realized that some of that directly had to do with me, that there was a lot going on. Obviously, we were having another baby, and all this other stuff was going on. But I believe that he did an amazing job, and some guys really got connected. But I feel there's something God wants to do deeper in us as men. And so we're going to meet, it's actually not on the bulletin, but we'll be giving more information. March 24th, it's a Saturday night. We're going to get the guys together, whoever wants to come, and we're going to watch the movie Courageous. If you've not seen it, it's an awesome movie. And then we're going to talk about what is this supposed to look like. And here's the deal. One of the things, I don't know about you as men, but for me, I appreciate when I'm kind of called up to something. And so we're going to call each other up to something. We're going to commit to one another. And we are going to truly become a band of brothers with God's help. But it's going to mean that we're going to have to commit something to each other. And we're going to even go through some kind of, and we'll talk about it, but we'll do some kind of a ceremony with us where we're committing to God and to each other. And we're going to sign our name on saying, these are the things we're making a commitment to. And then we'll hold each other accountable to it. So if you're sitting out there and you say, you know what, I want to be stretched in my walk with Christ. I want to be stretched by my brothers. I want to rise up into the man of God that he's called me to be. Then that's what's going to happen. And part of it is, I want to invest in you as men. And so I'm going to say, I'm not sitting up here as having all the answers, but I'm just old. I'll be 50 this year. So I've been through some life. I've been through some ups and downs. I've walked through some stuff. And so I want to, by God's grace, be able to impart some things even into you by his Spirit, that at this age, some things can be grounded in your walk with Christ. So if that's you, and you're saying, I don't know, man, but that's kind of scary, well, come. Because I'll guarantee you this. If you will make that commitment with God's help, we will grow. And we will rise up to be the men that God has called us to be. And let me tell you this, too. That our church, this church, and the church globally cannot be what God designed it to be without men being the men he's called them to be. Can't happen. Our churches all around the world are filled with women. Praise God. I love women. But let me tell you what, there's certain things that by God's word will not happen if the men don't rise up to be who they're called to be. And it's one of the reasons why in many ways the church in America is emasculated. And a lot of men go, well, I don't feel like I can be a man. Well, let me tell you, I'm a man's man. I like being a man, and however you want to define that, I like doing all kinds of stuff. And one of the things we're going to do is we're going to get into each other's worlds. We're going to sit and talk about, like, once a month going and doing something and say, hey, what's Aaron into? And Aaron goes, I'm into whatever. Okay, we're going to go do that and get into his world. I mean, Nick may say he likes to cook, and I don't know if he'd say that, but he likes to cook. Okay, we're going to go to Nick's place, and we're all going to cook. You know what? That we're going to learn what it is to be brothers. Because here's something about brothers. I don't have any like biological brothers, but I have a couple of brothers that have been brothers in my life. We did life together. And that's how we know how each other tick. Even when we don't see each other for months, we still know what's up. And so that's part of what's going to happen is we're going to get into each other's grill sometimes. And what gives you the right to do that is when you have a relationship that's deep enough that Nick knows I love him no matter what I say. And if he needs me to get in his face and say, Nick, you said this is what you were going to do. What's the deal? He's like, you're right. Let's do this thing together. Let's be the iron sharpening iron. So anyway, also, we got a box over there. Is that the question box? If there's any question you have, again, I am not the Bible answer man, but I can find out the answers to most things with God's help, the Word and the Internet. But if there is some question in your walk with God, something maybe if you're even reading the Bible that you have, we want you to put it in there because we're going to start to answer those, or at least try, again, by God's help. There are some that, you know, man has been trying to answer for thousands of years, so guess what? I'm probably not going to be able to answer them either, but we will certainly talk about them. So there's a box over there, question box. If you got questions, go for it. Last thing is, thanks to our amazing media team, we now have not just a podcast or audio of the message, but starting last week, we now have a video cast of the message. So if you go onto the website, you can, you know, not that you want to see my face, but if you miss the sermon and you'd rather see it than just hear it, then you can do both. Transformation. Transformation. I guess that was, if I were a old man. Yes, exactly. Good job, Catherine. You know, I don't sing, but, you know, she caught that one. That's good. We've been talking about transformation and being a new creation. The whole series, I mean, if you can't miss it without seeing it, don't you like, this is my winter shirt, man. This is like, I said, this is like the conservative side. So this is the, yeah. I said, New England needs some color in the winter time. So, you know, if you got to put on your sunglasses, I get it. I'm just being me. But today, we started last week talking about transformation and being a new self. In Ephesians 4, I'm not going to read all the verses from last week, but starting in verse 22, they're going to come up here on the screen, verses 22 to 24. You can turn to Ephesians 4. I'm going to read these quickly, but we'll go and read more verses in just a minute. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Last week, we started to talk about how God actually cares what we wear. Now, he doesn't care if you're wearing, you know, designer jeans or, you know, red Pumas. He cares about what you're wearing spiritually. And we didn't get into the crux of that. We're going to get into it today to talk about that. We talked a little bit last week and we asked, well, what is the old self? Because we said if we're supposed to put it off, it'd be really important for us to know what it is. I mean, have you ever been asked to do something and you didn't know what it was? I've been in a job before where they asked me to do something and I didn't have any idea what they were talking about. And then you're in this place like, okay, do I act like, or do I really let them know how stupid I am and that I really didn't even know what they were talking about? Or do I try to fake it? Well, you know, a lot of times we fake it in our walk with Christ. We're like, well, I think I should know the answer to this. I mean, yeah, put off your old self, of course. But then sometimes we're like, what is that? So we talked about that. What is our old self? Well, then if we're supposed to put on our new self, it'd be important that we would know what our new self is. So if you weren't here, well, we're going to talk more about that in a minute. But I love that God is not a theoretical God. He is a practical God. If the faith that we have cannot be lived out in our everyday life, then guess what? It's not real. It's not biblical. That's not the God of all creation. Because the faith that he calls us to walk in, it looks like real people doing real life in real ways with real people. And if you're trying to be somebody you're not, then guess what? You're not actually being who God called you to be. You're still walking in some of the old self we're talking about and not the new self. Because when we see Jesus was what I like to call myself as a WYSIWYG person. What you see is what you get. There was no, he didn't put anything on. He was the same. I tell people I'm a WYSIWYG person because I'm just not that smart. I can't be two people. I'm only one person. Wherever you see me, I'm pretty much the same guy because I'm just not that smart. Well, guess what? We're all supposed to be that way. And we're going to talk about that in a minute too. We talk about Lazarus, how when Jesus said, come forth, when he raised him from the dead, the first thing he said was take off his grave clothes. It's a great picture of us. When he's talking here, Paul in Ephesians 4 says, get rid of the old self, put on the new self. So get rid of every vestige of death. You're no longer dead in sin, you're alive in Christ. We've been talking about that. It was done. Yesterday we had a baptism. We had John and Mishi got baptized. It was awesome. And they went dead. They went down dead, came up alive. It's a picture of what Christ has already done, the transformation that already took place. Romans 6, just the first few verses. Chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we've been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Because of what Christ has done, we can get dressed differently. It's the caterpillar becoming the butterfly. The transformation that happens by the power of Christ when we no longer are dead in our sins, but we're made alive in Christ. And you've heard me say it, and you're going to hear me keep saying it until we actually believe it. Some of us, yeah, we go, okay, yeah, I believe it. Some of us are still hoping it's true. Know that it is true. See, there are certain things in life, they just are true. Now, we can choose to believe it or not, we can acknowledge it or not, but they are true. And if we have received Christ, we've confessed our sins, asked Christ to come into our life, that's true. You're a new creation. Not hope to be, not might be, you are. Now, we're continually being made into his image, but we have been transformed from being spiritually dead to being spiritually alive. Okay, so if you got Ephesians 4, this is where we're going. And Ephesians 4, we're gonna roll through this pretty quick. Okay, so Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. If you don't have a Bible, take one up off the table there. Ephesians 4, verse 25. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. Do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Now, I want us to understand something. We're going to talk real quickly that there are five different areas where Paul says, put these off and put these on. He's very clearly saying there's part of these are your old self, get rid of them. Here's your new self, let's put it on. Understand that these are not works of the flesh. See, when we hear put something off and we hear put something on, we're thinking, oh, this is what I'm supposed to do. Well, yes and no. Again, we can only do it by the power of Christ, which has transformed us. As it says in Galatians chapter 5, that the fruit of the Spirit is when the Holy Spirit controls our life, he will produce this kind of fruit. Understand the same thing here. You can't get dressed the way God wants you to be dressed spiritually without him. Because if you do it in the flesh, then all you're going to get is flesh. But when we do it in the Spirit, then we get the Spirit. The Spirit is what gives life. See, in Ephesians chapter 6, it says, talks about putting on the armor of God. When you read that, understand that every part of the armor of God is simply putting on Jesus. We're going to see the same thing. That basically what we're putting off is everything related to sin that had a hold in our life. And we're putting on Jesus. But they're very practical things. See, again, this is what I love about God. They're not theoretical. They're practical. They're things that you and I can grab a hold of. What's the first one? Put off lying. So if we're putting off lying, what are you supposed to, we're supposed to put on? Truth. It says, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor. So I got a big question. What is a lie? Anybody? What's a lie? Something that's not true. Okay. What else? John. And you know it's not true. Okay. Exaggeration. Now we're getting personal. Embellishment. Ouch. Who likes to tell stories? Every man in the room is kind of like, ooh. Something that you force yourself to believe that you know is not true. Anybody else? Not being genuine. What was it over here? Partial truth. Good question. Is there such a thing? Well, there's two big definitions I have, and then I'm going to break them down. One is a false statement deliberately presented as being true. That was said. The second, conveying a false image or impression. I have four types of false statements. I'd call it the full-on or the bold-faced lie. I mean, it's just not even an attempt at the truth. You know, like I get up and say, you know, Michael Jordan is my uncle. Not even a shred of truth to that. That's just a bold-faced lie. I think we all know what those are. But somebody else just said this, half-truths. We even use this language. Well, you know, it was a half-truth. It was only a partial lie. It's kind of like you come into class and the professor says, did you do your assignment? And you did most of the assignment. So you're like, yes, I did the assignment. Knowing full well you did not actually do the assignment. The third one is exaggerated truth. Enhancing the truth just a little bit. You know, I caught a fish this big. And the fourth one, man, this is the one where I think it probably hits every one of us smack between the eyes. White lies. Those little lies that are so easy to justify. Someone calls for your roommate and you pick up the phone and they said, who is it? It's Jim. Oh, tell him I'm not here. She's not here. Just a little white lie. Get pulled over by the cops. I didn't know I was speeding. Wink, wink. One of the challenges for us to deal with is that the Holy Spirit says he's the revealer of truth. So guess what? He's also the convictor of sin. Because he can't lead you into truth till he's convicted you of sin. You can't walk in truth until you've admitted that you're walking in lies. And for so many of us, lying is a part of our daily life. We don't even have any conviction anymore. That's why we talk about things like half-truths, little white lies, embellishment, exaggeration. I used to ask this. I go, how much of non-truth does it take for something to be a lie? Oh, I'll tell you. How many of you have ever taken a true and false test? And I hate true and false tests because all the teacher or professor has to do is change one word. All it has to do is say many or all, and it's false or it's true. It only has to change one small little word, and it's not true. I mean, think about it. If it's a date, it could be 1814 and it was 1815. Guess what? It's not close. It's not mostly true. It's false. See, part of our problem is we have redefined truth. God is the one that defines truth, not us, not our culture. Because guess what? Our culture has tried to convince us for a long time. And by the way, they've been very successful. Because if I was to do a survey, and I'm not pointing a finger at anybody, but if I was to do a survey in here, and we were to ask questions that demonstrate whether or not you believe in relative truth, I would venture to say that the vast majority in this room, the answer would be yes. Situational ethics? I had a conversation Friday night with these three young men out here in Harvard Square. They would not even admit that stealing is wrong, murder is wrong, lying is wrong. Why? Because it's all relative. Well, it all depends on the situation. I mean, you know, if you're stealing for the greater good, they use Robin. And I said, well, let me tell you, number one, Robin is a legend. He didn't really exist. So really bad example. But number two, if he got caught, what happened? He's still a thief. We have redefined it in our minds as well as our culture. The second definition is two ways that we can convey a false image or an impression. One is putting on masks. Some of us are really good at this. Depending on what group we're with, you know, we put on this mask. We're over here, oh, we put on this mask. We're chameleons. You know, we go, well, hey, Paul said be all things to all men. Okay, whoa, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Not the same thing. See, if our motivation is that we want everybody to like us and accept us, so we morph into a different person so that we'll fit, that's a false image. It's a false impression. The second part of that is living a charade. It's acting like something that we're not. You know, one of the biggest criticisms that, like, the world has with the church? Anybody? We're hypocrites, right? Like, I tell everybody, I told somebody the other night, I said, brother, I'm a recovering hypocrite. We're all hypocrites, not just Christians, not just the church, everybody. It's by the grace of God we can learn to not be. But here's the deal, is if we're living a double life, I mean, we have these things come out in the news all the time where you find out somebody was living this whole other life. And you go, that's crazy. But so many times it's true in ours. I mean, I can guarantee you, some of us in this room, we're a different person right here than we're going to be when we leave here. When you're hanging with your friends, when you go to work tomorrow, when you're in your classroom. If we're living a charade, if we're living a double life, it's a lie. It's a lie. I could read just what I read in Galatians 2:20. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. But guess what? If that's true, then that has to change the way that I live my life. Not because I'm living it for you, I'm living it for Him. See, the world should be able to look at us and see a difference. And way too many times, we don't really look any different than the world. I remember I was sharing this the other day when I was, this is probably 7, 8, 9 years ago before Pastor Ishar I ever met. And so I'd been single for a long time. And this, I didn't date a lot. I was just kind of like, Lord, you're going to bring me my wife. And He did an awesome job. But this gal that I knew, she'd have these like single Christian single parties, which I, you know, the whole idea of that seems really absurd to me. But she kept bothering me and said, Chris, you got to come. And so finally I'm like, okay. So I take a buddy with me. We go to this thing. And here I walk in, and she's got this like full-on bar. I mean, full-on bar. And they're mixing all these drinks. And I'm listening to the conversations. And I go, if I walked into this room and saw what was going on and listened to what was going on, there would not be one reason I would believe this wasn't the world. Now, I'm not a big person. If you have a drink once in a while, whatever, that's fine. I don't have a big issue with that. But let me tell you what. That's why Paul says, yes, I have the freedom to do everything, but I won't. If it becomes a stumbling block to my brother, I won't. And there are things in life you need to not do because it's not about you. You go, oh, I got the freedom. I don't care. I was young once too and did a lot of stupid things. Which, by the way, I wish I hadn't. And I'm not telling you what to do, but I'm saying listen to the Holy Spirit. Don't let the culture tell you how to live. Because the culture will tell you to live a lie. Because they have redefined truth for everyone. And we got to come back to the Word of God and say, wait, Jesus said, I am the truth. Capital T. I'm not here to tell you how to live your life, but the Holy Spirit is. We need to ask Him. We need to say, what is light supposed to look like in the world I'm in? And if I look just like everybody else around me, why would they want what I have? Why would they believe that I have something different? I left that party in about 5 minutes because I just said, this doesn't make sense to me. This doesn't make sense. And again, I'm not here to cast judgment on anybody, but I'm saying we are supposed to be light. And light does not look like darkness. A friend of mine used to say, man, if I'm stepping on some toes, I'm sorry. Pray for them. God will heal them. So we realize that God wants us to put off lying. I mean, I think everybody would say, yeah, we don't want, whether it's partial truth, exaggerated truth, full-on lies, little white lies, false impressions, we don't want any of that in our life. I don't believe any of us do. You wouldn't be here if that's what you wanted in your life. It's not what I want in my life. So if we want to, if that's what we're supposed to put off, then what are we supposed to put on? Anybody? I mean, truth goes without saying, but break that down for me. What are we putting on? Honesty. Let me tell you, in this world, if you're an honest person, you will be an oddball. Because there's times where you're going to have to do things that nobody else will do. You're going to have to say something when nobody else will do it. You're going to have to not go someplace when everybody else will go. And by the way, those may be your friends. They may even be your Christian friends. And again, I'm not saying you're not there to be their judge and jury. You're only responsible for yourself. If you start preaching your convictions, then you're going to bring condemnation. That's not your job. That's the Holy Spirit's job to bring conviction, not yours and mine. That's not my job. It's not your job. But if God tells me not to do something and I do it, guess what? It becomes sin to me. I don't have to tell anybody else why. It's just, you know what? I'm not going to go. I can't. I'm going to stay home. I'm not going to go do that. That's all you have to be. You don't have to preach a sermon. That's not your job. What else do we put on? Integrity. Man, you want to read the story of integrity? Read the story of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These guys were called out of their homeland into exile. They were given opportunity. Some of you are like that in this room. You've come out of a place where you did not have anything, but yet God has given you an opportunity. Maybe because of the school you're in, because of the career you're in, that you have opportunities before you that nobody in your family, nobody around you has ever had. But let me tell you, at the end of the day, you've got to stand before God. Be a person of integrity. Daniel did not, he said, man, I'm not going to change what I'm doing. There's only one God, and guess what? This is what God's asked me to do. I'm going to do it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we don't care. We're not going to bow down to your idol. Throw us into the fiery furnace. Our God will deliver us, but even if he doesn't, we won't bow down to your idol. This world needs to see young men and young women with integrity that stand up in the face of whatever and say, I won't go there. If it costs me my job, I won't go there. You're asking me to do something unethical, I won't do it. And again, we live in a world that's jacked up. I don't know if any of you saw it this week, but it was a group of ethicists in, I believe, England, right? England, that determined that after birth abortion is ethical. You're going, what? Yeah, up to a year because they're not really a person. You tell me my six-month-old daughter is not a person. But that's the way the world will go. And you're going to be in positions, if you're not right now, where people will ask you to do things that are wrong. And you have to be sure of who you are in Christ to take a stand when nobody else takes a stand. If it was easy, everybody do it. But we have a world that's flipped upside down. Wrong is right and right is wrong. I look at stuff and I go, this is insane. It is insane. How can you justify? I mean, number one, abortion. How can you justify killing a baby? I'm sorry. You telling me the baby right here in Andrew's womb is not a real person? And what has happened that we are afraid to stand on truth? And again, you don't have to go pick at anybody. Just stand where you're called to stand. That's what Ephesians 6 says. When you've done everything else, stand. It's not a like, you know, standing like I'm hanging out with my friends. It's a standing like I'm prepared to fight. Come on. You take one more step towards my family, we got problems. It's standing in a way that is strong. We as a church have become so weak because we have become so indoctrinated by the culture that we live in. And I'm not talking about us, I'm talking in general. They do study after study. There was a book, Josh McDowell, that has been, it's been a long time ago now, probably 14, 15 years ago, called Right from Wrong. They studied 3,500 young people in churches. And they found that more than 50% did not believe in absolute truth. They found that 2/3 of them had no problem with sex outside of marriage. The culture and Satan has done such a great job of pulling the wool over our eyes that we no longer even have issues. See, part of my problem is, where's the tension? It's not that we do things, we mess up, and we fall short of God's plan for us. Okay, we sin, I get it. But so many times there's not even any tension. We've disregarded the voice of the Holy Spirit. Put off lying. It says all falsehood. Put off all falsehood and put on truth, honesty, integrity. I can tell you this, if you make that decision right now, and we're not going to get through the rest of this, and that's okay. This is like real stuff. If we don't live the way we're called to live, how will people know? That's what Romans says. If you don't go, who will go? If you don't tell them, how will they hear? This is not a message of guilt. This is not a message of condemnation. It's a message of hope. We've been transformed. I've been made new. Guess what? I'm no longer the little worm. I'm the butterfly. I no longer crawl around and can't see anything. No, God's now given me the ability to see above and beyond myself, to see things through the eyes of eternity, to know that if I live the life that He's called me to. See, what does it mean to be holy? It means to be set apart. Let me tell you this, young men and young ladies. You've been called to be set apart, to be in the world but not of the world. We talked about that a few weeks ago. It's oil in the water. You can put oil in water and you can shake it up, but when you let it go, what happens? They separate. That's what's supposed to be us in the world. That the light comes in and the darkness flees. 1 John says that if we walk in the light as He's in the light, there can't be any darkness. This is what God is calling us to. Again, don't hear me saying, oh, Pastor Chris, tell me that I got to do this. No, I'm telling you, man, listen to the Spirit of God. Submit to it and say, yes, I'm going to be a person of truth. I'm going to be a person of honesty. I'm going to be a person of integrity no matter what it costs me. Because I'll tell you this too. If you don't make that commitment in little places right now, when that big moment comes, we won't do the right thing. If it really will cost you something, your job, your future, your reputation, you won't do it if you don't do it in the little places right now. When you're hanging with your friends and they're just, you know, they're saying things that are so inappropriate, you just let it go. Again, we don't have to be the judge and jury to say it's okay to say, you know what, I don't want to listen to that. If you want to keep telling the story, that's fine, but I'm actually going to leave. We as guys, all the time, guys get together and they tell stuff, they tell stories, and you know what? I don't want to hear that. That's not who I am. You know, that's fine. If you want to tell that story, that's fine, but I'm just going to go right now. See, there's something even in us that goes, wow, that's crazy. No. It's simply light. Jesus said, you're called to be light and salt. Salt what? Brings out the flavor, enhances what is there. Are we enhancing the world around us? Or is the world even any different? You don't have to pour out the whole salt shaker. You know, if you've ever been at like a camp or somebody unscrews the cap, you know, you go like this and all the salt falls on your food. That's not good. So yeah, we're not called to be like that, getting in people's faces and say, you got it. No, that's not it. A little salt enhances the flavor. Light lights up the room. We're going to have communion. I'm going to stop, and if you guys would mind coming forward, start playing. Before we do, though, I wasn't really planning to go all there, but I really feel there's something in me because I've been there. I am not this person who doesn't understand what it is to be 20, 24, 25 years old, and you just want to hang out with your friends and you just want to do whatever they're doing and you want to just be cool. I get it. Man, I was in my early 20s and I was going out and clubbing on Saturday night till 3 or 4 in the morning, getting up and going to church on Sunday morning. But when I look back, I go, wow. Man, my life didn't line up as God wanted it to line up. I wasn't presenting what I wanted to present. And again, man, you guys could be anywhere. So you're here, so I know in your heart that you want to be that person Jesus has called you to be. No matter how hard it is, no matter what it costs you. But we have to make some choices. God will never make you or me do what we should do. He won't. He'll call us. He'll pursue us. He'll love us. He'll woo us. But he'll never make us. You're a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. Will we allow God to give us the strength and the grace to put off the old self and everything that goes with it and put on the new self? Lord, I'm going to, in Jesus' name, put off every falsehood that I may walk in truth, that I may walk in integrity, that I may walk in honesty. Because some of you right now in your life, it means you're going to have to go to some people and you're going to have to confess some stuff. You're going to have to go before God and say, man, God, I've been living a double life. You know, as they say, the problem with straddling the fence is it gets really uncomfortable. Before we have communion, you can put them down for a second because I want to do something first. You know, communion is about remembering what Christ did, and this is about remembering what Christ did. He paid his life for your sins and my sins. I mean, you know, there's a scripture in Proverbs, it's kind of disgusting, but it says, like a dog returning to his vomit. I don't know if you've ever seen a dog do that, but that's really disgusting. I've seen a dog do it, and that's nasty. But it says that when we've been made a new creation and we're going back to the things that we were, put that picture in your mind. It says we're like a dog returning to its vomit. You go, whoa, I wouldn't do that. Yeah, but that's what we're doing when we actually say, man, Jesus has made me new. I'm a butterfly, but man, I'm crawling around on the ground looking for something to chomp on. I want you to close your eyes and bow your heads. Two questions I want to ask is, one, is there anybody today that you would say, man, I want to live life like that, but I realize I've not actually made that first decision. I've not confessed my sins, repented of what I've done against God and asked Jesus to come into my heart. Because that's square one. That's where it happens. That's where the transformation takes place. Is there anybody today who would say, you know, Chris, I've not done that. I want to do that today. I want to ask God to forgive me and to come into my life, to make me new, to transform me, to take me from dead in sin to being alive in Christ. Is there anybody that raise their hand and say, yes, that's me. I want to make that decision today. I want to proclaim today that I can be in Christ today, dead in sin, alive in Christ. Is there anybody? Well, here's my second question. Who would say, you know, I want to put off every falsehood and I want to walk in truth? I want to be a person of honesty. I want to be a person of integrity. I want to do whatever it takes because I want to be everything that Jesus has called me to be in Christ. And I'm going to ask you to do something more than raise your hand. I'm going to ask you to stand up. To say yes. And I'm standing right here with you. And saying that I don't want to walk in little areas that it's so easy to justify. But I want to walk completely as God has called me to walk in Christ Jesus. Would you do a favor? Would you do me a favor? Would you raise your hands? Jesus said like this, if you want to be my disciple, you need to take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. These are those moments. These are those moments where saying, you know what? I care more about what Jesus says than anybody else in this room and anybody out there. That I want to walk the way you want me to walk. Lord God, as we stand here saying, number one, Lord, forgive us. Forgive us for the falsehood that we've been walking in, whether it's in our ideas, in our conversation, in our lifestyle. Lord, forgive us. Your word says you're faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. And so, Lord, we're saying from this day forth, by the power of your Spirit, by the grace of God, you will help us to walk as people of truth. People that will walk in honesty and integrity no matter what it costs us. That we won't live according to the rules of this world, we'll live according to the voice of the Holy Spirit within us. The one that's the convictor of sin and the revealer of truth. Because God, when we walk like that, then the world sees the light of Christ and it says they're drawn. Even as Pastor Ishtar read earlier in 2 Corinthians, then we become a beautiful aroma or just a nasty stench. But either way, Lord, there's no middle ground. And Lord, may we live our life where there's no middle ground. We're sold out to you 100%. We have an audience of one. We live our life to honor and glorify you. Nobody else. God, may you give us the strength. Holy Spirit, help us to be sensitive to your voice, to listen, that we may hear, listen, and obey. We pray it in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You know, as you have a seat, we're going to have communion and go ahead and start passing out the elements. And as you get the elements, wait, we'll take communion together. If you're here for the first time, but you've asked Christ into your life, please have communion with us. You know, there's something so powerful that just happened right here. Some of you just made a decision, maybe that you've never made really at that level. Maybe you've made it before, but you go, man, something's different. That will be challenged. Satan will challenge you. Some of you, even before you leave this room tonight, because God's telling you to walk in truth and it's going to be hard. He's telling you that, you know what, I was telling a story at snack and I got to go back and say, you know, that wasn't really true. Some of you are going to have to leave here and go and walk in truth with your roommate, with your boss, with your spouse, with your friends. Do not go there. Because the enemy will try to keep you and say, oh, just put it off till tomorrow. Don't put off till tomorrow what you need to do today. If it means you got to pick up the phone and do it, you walk out of here when we're done and you pick up the phone and you make a call. Because the Spirit of God that's bringing conviction in your life, He's telling you it's got to happen now. And if you don't do it now, more than likely it won't happen. How do I know? Because, man, I've walked it many times in my own life. But if it doesn't happen, something you got to deal with now, I'll tell you this, it'll happen this week. The tests will come. Because the enemy does not want you to succeed. He does not want you to be the men and women of God that He's called you to be. He does not want you to walk in truth. Because when we walk in truth, man, let me tell you what, the light dispels the darkness. I don't know if you've ever been in a room when you flip on the lights and the cockroaches go running. But that's what happens when we walk into a room walking in truth. Darkness has to flee. This is what God calls us to. I am excited because, man, I look around this room and I go, these are men and women that get it. You're here because you are sold out to Jesus. You're like, I want to do what He calls me to, nothing else. These are those places where that becomes solidified in who you are. Because if it doesn't happen here, as God raises you into places and positions, it'll only get harder. So if you're obedient in this place, in this time, then as those tests come, you'll just say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Well, I believe that we had church here today. Because when God shows up and He gets down inside of us and He messes with us, that's what God's good at. See, God does not want you to stay the way that you are. It's not that He doesn't love you. He loves you completely. In fact, He loves you so completely, He wants us to continue to grow. He's not okay with us just being where we are because He sees so much more potential. See, we look in the mirror, and some of us see some potential, but man, God sees more potential in you than you'll ever see in yourself. Because again, He looks at eternity. And in this room are young men and young women, old men and old women, that if we're faithful to listen to God's voice and do whatever it is He calls us, He'll be glorified. Now, I can't promise you that the world will promote you, because they may not. I can't promise they're all going to like you because they probably won't. But truth is not something that is malleable. Our world has made it malleable. You just kind of make it fit wherever you want it to. No, it doesn't work that way. And understand when God calls you to stand, stand strong. Stand strong. Because greater is He that's in us than he that's in this world. He's a liar. He's out to kill, steal, and destroy. But guess what? Jesus says we are more than conquerors. That I can do all things through Christ Jesus who gives me strength. There is not one thing that you'll ever face that Christ will not give you the strength to stand up to it. Speaking of that, stand with me. As we take the bread and we take the cup, I want us to remember, to reflect that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. He's the truth. No person's ideas, no philosophical ideas, no ideologies. He's the truth. So as we put Him on, we put truth on. May we take the bread remembering what Christ has done. If you would, if you'd raise your cup to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It says, at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, in earth, on the earth, under the earth, and in the heavens, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Let's take the cup together. Amen. Amen. Have a seat for just a few moments. We're going to have an offering and make a few announcements, and we will be done.